Well, hello, women from Christ Covenant. My name is Alberto. I'm a pastoral intern here with you at Christ Covenant Church, and it's a great pleasure and an honor to be helping leading this Bible study on Colossians. And so today we ought to study Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, and while you turn there in your Bibles, let me tell you that one of the most difficult things to do as Christians is to learn how to deal with sin. On the one hand, we do not want to tolerate sin and treat it as if it were part of us now that we are in Christ. And yet, on the other hand, we continue to sin. And that's an undeniable truth. Now, this constant tension or struggle has had many people baffled over the nature of sin when it comes to us Christians. And this is something to which probably most of us may relate. There are things we want to stop doing, and yet there are times in which we fall back again into the same sins. How do we deal then with sin? What categories do we need to have to overcome the remaining sin in our lives? How does our theology help when it comes to our practice? Well, as we come to this next section in Colossians chapter 3, it might be good to summarize briefly where we've been and where we're going. So just by way of reminder, Paul writes this letter to encourage the church at Colossae to remain in the gospel and prevail against the ways and pressures of the world. Paul begins his argument by showing the supremacy of Christ and how he shares in the divine nature. In other words, Jesus is the one and only God. This Jesus, who is preeminent over all, is at the same time in us. His presence is with us, and we are united to him. Our life, then, is a reflection of his resurrected life, and our nature will become fully revealed when his nature becomes fully revealed. This set of truth will have several consequences in the Christian life. They will explain what our relationship to sin now is and how this plays out in the context of family, work, etc. So today, I want to explain from the next portion, how does our new life in Christ affect our relationship to sin? I want to do this in two very short segments. First, our awareness of sin's character, and then the practical ways we deal with it. By way of disclosure, today's lecture is going to be kind of a bitter medicine for many of us. I cannot think of any other less exciting topic for Christians than that of sin. Nevertheless, this is extremely important and necessary. First, because knowing about our sin is necessary to learn how to deal with it. And second, it is only when we understand the gravity of our sin that we can begin to enjoy the beauty of Christ's grace. Now, with this in mind, let me read from Colossians 3, verses 5 through 9. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So first, let's begin by talking about being aware of some of sin's characteristics. Sin might be broad at times, but it is also very specific. Yes, we all sin. We are all at the same time righteous and sinners. But it is often the specificity of our own sin that awakes our concern and help us put on defenses to fight it. So what do we learn from this text concerning this? Well, we ought to name our sin. The lists on verses 5 and 8 are not exhaustive, but exemplary. The point is not to say, oh, well, my specific sin is not here, so I guess we're good. But to show that one of the first steps towards dealing with our sin is to recognize the specific nature of it. What do you struggle with the most? Anger, anxiety, lack of patience? These lists are helpful in that way. They lead us toward being clear and straightforward about our sin. Remember that we are on spiritual warfare here. We ought to know our enemy in order to fight against it effectively. The second thing we ought to notice is that sin has consequences. Don't forget that. As Christians, we are often quick to remember God's grace and mercy. We remember the blessings of heaven and the riches of God's mercy and love. All that is good and biblical. However, we ought not to forget the consequences of sin as well. Scripture is full of warning passages about those who knowingly go on sinning. To these people, Paul writes in verse 6, on account of these things, on account of these sins of yours, the wrath of God is coming. If we are ignoring God's wrath and presuming upon God's mercy to keep on sinning, we ought to be extremely careful, for this warning is for us. Thomas Brooks, a 17th century Puritan, once wrote, "There is nothing in the world that renders a man more unlike to a saint and more like to Satan than to argue from God's mercy to sinful liberty, from divine goodness to licentiousness." Remembering that there are consequences to sin is central to our theology. We ought to remember that no sin is left unpunished. Finally, we ought not to forget sin's methods. Verse 7 says, "In these you two once walked when you were living in them." Paul reveals the way sin acts in verse 7. He reminds the Colossian church that they used to live in sin. This is something really important to remember when fighting sin. Sin will often present itself as a harmless, once in your life opportunity. Oh, I'll do this just once more. I don't know, I'll be selfish just once more. Just one more time. I will have wrong response just once again. Without notice, soon enough, we are again walking in wayward ways. This is because sin by nature is a path you walk on. It's a life you live. It's not a one-day activity, but a continual practice. When sin's temptation come, as an only once more kind of thing, you need to be aware that sin will seek to make you walk again it in its way continually. So now that we are aware of sin's nature and characteristics, we are more prepared to deal with it. How is Paul, and thus God who inspired him, instructing us to deal with our sin? Well, Paul mentions three things: put to death, put aside, and putting off. Verse 5 mentions put to death. When we come to Pauline letters, we are able to clearly see the movement from theology to practice. Most of the time, with indicative, this is theology that we ought to understand. And then with imperative, these are straightforward commands that we ought to put into practice. And so, on account of all Paul has been saying about Christ's glorious nature and the fact that we are united to him and our lives being hidden in him, here's the first command in this section. Put sin to death. This is stated as a definitive action. Immediate action is expected from the readers. Do this now. What? Kill your sin. Kill your sin before it kills you. Paul does not expect us to coexist with our sin. This is even worse than the virus that has affected our lives for the last 2 years. Sin won't just might affect you, but it will definitely destroy you. So, just as we were wiping everything out in the first month of the pandemic, or maybe you still do some of that in order to kill the virus, Paul expect us to take immediate action and kill our own sin. Not only this, but Paul gives us some direction about the object and identification of what we ought to kill. So if you remember in verse 2 previously, he has instructed us to set our minds on heavenly things and not in earthly things. Here he says, whatever is not heavenly, whatever does not bring glory to Christ, whatever you cannot do, knowing that your life is hidden in Christ and you are sitting in the heavenly places right now with him, that which is earthly, put to death. But killing our sin is not something that will just happen on its own. We ought to be active in putting sin to death. And the next thing Paul says concerning sin has more to do with how do we put sin to death. First, we put it aside. This means we abandon it. We place it somewhere, and then we walk in the opposite direction. What you don't feed won't grow, and whatever is abandoned decays and dies. I'm terrible with plants. I've always been amazed by my impressive ability to kill every plant I get. I even managed to kill a cactus while living in the desert. I think one of the big problems with my relationship to plants is that they don't cry out for help. So oftentimes, I get busy with other things, sometimes for weeks or months. And when I remember I have a plant, it has already dried as paper. That's something similar to what we ought to do with sin. We ought to set it aside. We ought to abandon it and be so occupied with heavenly things, things that bring glory to God, that sin will just dry out. Finally, this putting to death and putting aside is something to be done continually. Notice in verse 9 how the way in which we are able to stop lying to one another is by having put off the old man. This is something to do every day. In order to live a life that glorifies God, we ought to daily neglect the sinful lifestyle that doesn't. Paul will elaborate some more regarding this in verse 10. Putting off is not enough. We ought to put on a new self. But that's something for the next session. So what have we learned so far? We ought to know our enemy. Sin needs to be dealt with specificity. We ought to remember its consequences and avoid falling into the lie that sin is a one-time only thing. Sin is a lifestyle. Sin is a path. Thus, we ought to continually put it to death by putting it aside and walking in the opposite direction. This is the way we daily put off our old self, and we deny ourselves and follow him in whom life, our own life, is hidden. And it is because we are united to him that he enables us through his spirit to do all these things. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for inspiring this passage and reminding us that sin is a serious matter. We ought not to forget about it while we live in this fallen world. But through your help, through what Christ has done, through our union with Christ, we ought to put sin to death continually. And so we ask for your help for doing these things. Help us see what are our specific sins and help us put them to death every day until you come back or we get to see you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.